So this morning we wanted to give you a wee bit of an update on the SICA project. I know some people will have been through this information quite a few times already, but I'm guessing that for some people, especially people who are not UK-based, not part of the European Chairs Assembly, this might be at least some new information, unless you're based at Arya Loca, in which case you've also been through it very recently. SICA project has been an enormous output of the International Council. It was a project that had quite a few different routes. Adestana was trying to figure out what its brief was, what it was that it had to teach, and it wanted to consult on what the order needed. Preceptors College had an input, and that there was a big discussion that came out of the International Council meeting following the very first meeting in 2011 about what our system of teaching looked like, and especially if we wanted all five stages present everywhere, what would it look like? So different strands fed into this. International Council picked it up as a body that actually, to some extent, was in a position to follow those questions through and to implement it. But for the last couple of years, it's been an enormous bit of the work of the staff of the International Council and a number of highly experienced order members who've also been willing to be involved in this. So I just wanted to do a wee bit of credits, first of all. Dame Omega, over there in the corner, was International Council staff when the council first took it on, and a lot of the spade work for what this project became, a lot of the information gathering, a lot of taking the project forward, really was Dame Omega's work. And she's here right now, still connected with the SICA project, and that's partly because she's about to hand over to Vajra Shura, who's about to take on SICA as a, well, at least sort of part-time, but as a dedicated part of his work, which takes it out of the International Council staff's responsibility. So I just wanted to take a chance to say thanks to Dame Omega and to introduce Vajra Shura. So honestly, Dame Omega really does deserve a wee round of applause. So and the work has carried on. Shubhavyu has been also moving the project forward, but we can give her a round of applause maybe a little bit later in the meeting. So it means we've got quite a few people, including Subhadra Mati, who's been quite involved in it, so we can feed in to this presentation if we want, but I will try and keep it briefer than is my habit. But I do want to give people a bit of an update, let you know what's happening. And also we want feedback from you, just that what we're doing, given the resources that we've got, is helpful in the situation that you're in your area. So, as you know, this was the kickoff for the project. This came from what is the Western Buddhist Order in 2009, this idea that a community needs a high degree of commonality of practice. And then that getting developed in the initiation into a new life paper. And this actually, in a way, it's Bhante revisiting something that he said in 1979, but that over the two or three decades following, I think we had kind of lost as a bit of a map. So it was revisiting some of the early thinking about the nature of our training. So this idea that from the moment of a person's first contact with our movement, he or she should be able to discover a balanced approach that's appropriate to them. The karmic work of integration and developing positive emotion, and the dharmic work of spiritual receptivity, death and rebirth. And I think that idea of the mandala, of the balance of all of those factors from first contact right through to post-ordination practice and training, was a bit of a shift in how we thought about teaching. I think prior to this, over the decades, teaching had become more linear. I think centres particularly specialised in the integration and positive emotion aspects. Spiritual death tend to come in a bit more explicitly in ordination training, and at least our kind of formal practice around spiritual rebirth. It's not that nothing was present earlier, but the emphasis and the focus was very much in sadhana practice post-ordination. And this idea that you wanted all of those elements at every level of our teaching, I think, was quite a significant shift in emphasis. And I think, again, quite an important practical point. One of the reasons the Preceptors College was so interested in this discussion was that not every order member post-ordination had a very effective feel for what they were doing in sadhana practice. And this idea that if you're not introduced to certain ways of thinking about the Dharma and engaging with that experience at lower levels, if you're not careful, you end up with a discontinuity that makes it harder to practice at sort of later stages of your own practice and training. So the aim of the Sika project was to develop an integrated training based in Bhante's presentation of the Dharma, capable of development and including the stages of integration to spiritual rebirth at all levels of teaching and training. So pretty much that was the brief that the Sika project was given. And we kind of chunked that down into some quite concrete outcomes that we wanted. So we wanted to find out, first of all, what were people doing? And especially what were people doing that was working, to figure out where the gaps were and to try and fill the gaps, so to create resources to teach effectively. And we thought that that would mean content, like developing, communicating content and support on teaching methods and teacher training. So Dhammamegha spent, how long Dhammamegha?
5 or 6 months, maybe.
5 or 6 months, I would maybe even a little longer. Sort of gathering information, a very kind of thorough, well, fairly thorough as we had the resources for, information gathering about what we were doing. And we hoped that the conversation itself actually was part of the process of us becoming a bit more self-aware about what we were doing. Dhammamegha sort of visited and encouraged a number of centres to think about what they taught effectively and where the gaps were. And I think for quite a few centres, it was the first time that collective conversation between the order members involved in teaching had happened. So I hope the information gathering itself was a step towards a bit more self-awareness or a bit more reflection on it. When we took this on, it really looked like an enormous bit of work. We tried to sort of think, well, what are the main sort of stages of our teaching and training? And we came up with these as the main areas. So there's the sort of introductory first contact teaching. There's what we call friends level teaching, mitra study, ordination training, and then post-ordination. And when we first started to think about this, we thought, what's in place now? And it looked like mitra study had a pretty systematic approach to teaching. And again, some of the people involved in that, Vajrasura, Subhadramati, were quite involved in developing the mitra study course. And ordination training, again, has quite an agreed, quite a thought-through structure of training. But we thought that introductory, friends level, and post-ordination, much less thought through and much less developed. So the job to begin with, we thought, was to, well, where do you start? And there was an argument that you could have started sort of anywhere, but we started at the beginning and had a look at introductory training. In the information that we gathered, one of the bits of data that we got was where did introductory teaching seem to be working effectively? There were a number of places, but in the UK at least a couple of centres stood out. That the LBC had a really well thought through presentation of introductory teaching, and very busy, effective introductory classes. Similarly, Sheffield seemed to have found a way of presenting introductory teaching that was very effective and very popular. You know, just I guess two metrics that we were using was the number of people who came to centres and then the number of people who chose to stay engaged and to move on to sort of deeper levels. And by those measures, the LBC and Sheffield looked like they were doing effective teaching. So we set up a discussion involving a number of experienced teachers, but particularly looking for some input from the LBC in Sheffield about the way they thought about their Dharma teaching. One of the things that was interesting was there were definite elements in common, but also quite significant differences. And one of the learnings from that, I think, is there's not just one way to do this. That there are ways that suit the people involved, ways that suit the context that you're teaching in, ways that suit the resources that you've got. But this really struck me. This was a quote from Vidanya on one of the early discussions that we had. And his contention was that you're more likely, though you can read, can't you, but you're more likely to lose people by boring them than by challenging them. It was striking both, I think one of the conclusions that Dhammamegha's research threw up was that the most effective and the most successful centres tended to set the bar quite high in their Dharma teaching. They made, in a way, very explicit about the spiritual goal of Buddhism, very explicit about the level of engagement that serious practice required. Vidanya's summing up of that philosophy, I thought, was a nice little sketch. We, in one of the discussions, we tried to, looking at the differences, also trying to figure out what was it that the LBC in Sheffield shared, and trying to identify things that it looked like might contribute to effective centres. This is maybe a wee bit tactical to begin with, but this was a line from Maitreya Bandhu, and he was saying, if you're trying to up the quality of teaching at the centre, you don't have to do it as a global project to begin with. So this idea of one room, one class, if you really want to up your teaching, you can start quite small and get one unit working effectively and then just gradually step out from there. This idea that they were vision-led and quite uncompromising seemed to be shared. And focus on creating a culture. This was really strong in both of the centres. They were both saying that Dharma teaching isn't without a context, and the context is everything from the way the people on the class team cooperate with each other, the way things are charged for, the whole culture of Kalyanamitrata in the centre, but that the teaching sort of is a medium for a much broader culture of practice and shared practice in the centre. And both of them really explicitly based on Bhante, both of them very clear pathways. It's clear where you start and it's clear where you go next. So very explicit pathways through. Both of them, for example, build in, I think this is true, build in retreats that happen near the end of an introductory course. And the retreats are flagged right at the beginning of the introductory courses. People are encouraged, you know, for totally good reasons, to be aware of the retreat. And if they want a deeper experience of practice, get on the retreat, build relationships and so on. The next couple of things, council and president align with the vision, teachers align with the vision, and teaching teams that share the vision. Again, both LBC and Sheffield put quite a lot of emphasis on this, that if you've got different people leading Dharma classes, but pulling in different directions with significantly different emphases, It never becomes more than the sum of the parts. If you've got people doing introductory teaching aware of and working collaboratively with the people doing the friends level teaching, aware of and working collaboratively with the MICRA study leaders, you end up with something that's much more coherent and much more of a progressive system of training. And I think that idea of what we're doing as a progressive system of training is quite an important idea for us to understand. Respond to enthusiasm, take people seriously. One of the interesting things about that, it's maybe not here in detail, but I was quite impressed by how thorough the LBC is. The LBC ask for a commitment to attend all of the evenings of a course. So when people come, that they're asked basically to make a commitment to come. Obviously not everybody can come every time, but they're asked to let the course leaders know. So that they stay part of the dialogue. But the other thing the LBC does is it records every session, emails a link to everybody on the course to the teaching of that session. So even if you kind of miss an evening, you're part of an ongoing dialogue. I was just really sort of impressed that the level of communication that's set up between the class teams and the people who come on an introductory course. And this idea of people encouraged to take on appropriate responsibilities, and especially young people encouraged to take on appropriate responsibilities, very kind of conscious part of both the LBC and Sheffield. Sebastian, look, what would your kind of trajectory be from somebody coming on a course to being invited to be on a class team, for example?
Well, I would just say, come on the class team next week. You look like you're really into this. Why don't you come on the team?
So pretty early.
Yeah, pretty early and pretty informal. Basically, as soon as anybody showed the slightest bit of interest, I give them some bit of responsibility.
Yeah.
Very, very soon, even within weeks. Yeah.
Both Maitreya Bandhu and Vidanya, quite willing to say things that might be unpopular. And how much that's a spiritual principle, and how much it's a characteristic of two particular teachers. But I guess the sort of the issue of principle there is sometimes the Dharma doesn't always sit easily with the assumptions of the culture, and being willing to raise those sort of dissonances and get into dialogue. And then this idea of committed engagement, attendance, friendship, teachers. But very striking that the LBC and Sheffield both make a real commitment to turn up. If you're teaching, you turn up. If you're part of the class team, you turn up. Or there's a commitment, I think, in both centres that teachers don't just do a single class. They've got the resources to do this. It's not always possible at a small centre. But class teams will move with people as they engage more deeply. Anyway, I thought that was an interesting list of conditions. The other big thing that came out of that first phase of SICA was starting to collect what's taught and trying to make that material more available. And an obvious mechanism for that was the SICA website, so SICA Online. That is the actual web address, by the way. SICA.online is the website. We picked up material that was being taught. Rather than start from scratch, we wanted just to build on what was already there. So we looked at the Life with Full Attention, Journey and the Guide that the LBC was teaching. We looked at the Radical Dharma 1 and 2 in the Sheffield course. And what we did was just asked the centre teachers to video themselves teaching a session, to write up class notes, and also to do a short introduction aimed at teachers outlining the main teaching points of an evening. So we had the short introductory videos on the website, that the longer modelling of teaching on the website and written up notes. And what we wanted to do was just make enough resources available so that other centres could look at what was done. The idea of the short videos is, again, trying to get the key teaching points out, but recognising not everybody's going to do it the same way. It's not always got, you know, what works in Sheffield, what works in London, might or might not work at your centre, but at least you've got the core principles that you can adapt in any way that you like. And again, sort of thanks to Chandradasa and the Buddhist Centre online team for helping us set this whole platform up. So briefly, that was the sort of stage one. That took about a year and a half to do the thinking, to film the teaching, to get it up there. We started to think about Friends level, the sort of phase two teaching. And I got really excited at this point. Like, when I first started thinking about what Sika was doing, it really seemed to me almost so big it was undoable, you know, just to review our teaching and training at every level. But actually, once we started to look at it, if you get introductory teaching a bit more systematic, Mitra study and ordination training's already there. Work to do order level, but that level's the kind of key bridge that's left. How do you get people from first contact into engaging more deeply? And that sort of got reflected in what we thought the brief of this level was. And we thought a big difference between introductory level, where you're trying to teach people what the shape of the Dharma is, the basic principles are, and phase two, what you're trying to do is to create connections with the Dharma within a community. And I think that's a sort of key idea, and that you're keeping people engaged and inspired with the Dharma, but you're trying to do that in a way that means they stay around long enough to start to make a commitment with a practice community. And again, it's not that you're trying to build a mega church, you're just recognising that deepening engagement with the Dharma for most people is supported by deepening engagement with a Sangha, deepening engagement with a community. And if that's one of the important areas of phase two, then it affects how you present the material in phase two. So what came out of that was a little less emphasis on the content and a bit more emphasis on presenting information that allows people to engage, but at the same time build relationships. So the content, the idea that we've come up with is this series called Sangharakshita Classics. I'm sorry, I didn't bring a copy of The Taste of Freedom over, but we've produced our first little booklet that I'll bring over. But what the Sangharakshita Classics are is bits of Bhante's key teaching that we thought were particularly significant ones that could be turned into modular courses, that we could provide the same kind of backup that the longer introductory courses had done on phase one. So we've already produced Taste of Freedom, and Subhadramati's run a course based on that already. So we've got all of the teaching material now supporting that as a course available and ready to go. The other stuff that the group of us who were working on this got excited about was mind reactive and creative as a very sort of core idea. Breaking through to Buddhahood. The next two are a pair, Greater Mandala, the bi-tendential value of being, going for refuge, and then something around the idea of individual, group and community. We also got interested in doing stuff around some longer texts, and particularly Subhadramati's book about Not About Being Good, as a longer way of engaging with the precepts, and Living with Kindness as a core text for engaging with the Metta Sutta and that strand of our teaching. We're still at this point drawing largely on the LBC in Sheffield. don't want to be sort of contentious, but one of the things that we want to do is try to draw on the experience of other centres and get more diverse styles, more diverse voices in presenting this stuff. But I really want to express my appreciation to the LBC in Sheffield, actually. The amount of work that they've put into developing this, the amount of effort they've put into sharing their own material. Apparently I'm running out of time. Has been fantastic, actually. I really want to appreciate just how much we've been able to build on their experience and how generous they've been. Press the right button. A little more briefly, meditation came up as a topic as well. We wanted to make this point that we don't want to unhook meditation teaching from Dharma teaching. But nevertheless, there are some quite specific skills that centres asked for help with. One of the main things is how do you support people going more deeply in meditation? And not every local centre had the confidence or felt they had quite the expertise that they needed. One way that we're going to try and address that is we're trying to build a network of experienced meditation teachers in local situations. And the kickoff for that is a retreat here in December this year. We've invited Ordre members who've been recommended by their centres as people who are particularly involved in teaching. And also in a moment of recklessness, we've invited every UK and European Ordre member under 45 to attend. And that it's a great team leading it, Vijaya Mala, Vidya Mala, Visantra, Tejananda, anybody else? Anyway, very experienced team, so if you want your people to get exposure to that, this retreat is a way of doing it. Quickly, training. We want to try and support teachers. There's a couple of different ways that we're doing that. The most spectacular one is the LBC and Sheffield actually piloting a project to mentor other centres. And the Berlin and Dublin centres both attended an intensive one-week training at the LBC in March this year, I think. And what we hope is going to happen is that gets networked, the centres who are trained pass that experience on. We're also trying to do, not everybody can do a week at the LBC, so Ratna Guna is trying to develop some online teacher training. He's done some stuff already. He's led courses in Holland and Germany, done online stuff in Australia and New Zealand, and plans to do some stuff for American Order members soon. His health has been an issue that's kind of affected the rollout of this. Last but not least, the Order. And you're aware of the Order questionnaire. And the main thing that we're trying to do with the Order, again, is just at the information gathering level, how do we help Order members deepen their own practice? How do we create a culture where there's more dialogue about practice? I think one of the learnings from the whole insight inquiry discussion has been how helpful intensive dialogue around practice is. So trying to learn some lessons from that about practice more generally. And we're asking people, tell us how you practice. What do you need? What would be helpful to support post-ordination practice going more deeply? So that's the work so far. It's a shame to waste the resources. Dhammamega knows more than I do. Shibavu has been very involved, and Vajrasura and Subhadramati. But maybe if people have any comments or questions, again, I'll defer to the facilitators, but one of the things I think it would be helpful to get back is just a sense of, is what we're doing helpful? And are there things that would be obviously helpful to you that you could request that the SICA project gives some attention to.